Love.
Welcome to American Conservative Party Radio. My name is Tracy.
And I'm Bill.
And we have opened up with Mars, the god of war.
Because we be in one.
Gustav Holst.
Yeah.
Yes, there appears to be, according to Joe Biden, an attempt to beat the deadline that he set, that they would test Barack Obama within 6 months. Here it is, 5 months, 3 weeks, and 4 days away.
Well, actually, I'm not sure that he hasn't been tested yet, Tracy. I'm kind of thinking North Korea.
What would you think had been a test so far? You know, everything at this point has been, you know. Well, speaking of tests, before you answer that,
yeah.
I will bring up a test that has been going on Barack Obama's behalf.
Ah.
I don't know if you noticed this, but they're talking about the fact that when Barack Obama and his wife and children went to dinner in Paris several weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. That's the one where they stood up Sarkozy to go have dinner by themselves.
Yeah, they had a food taster with them.
Oh, yes, they did.
Isn't that nice?
You know, I don't
recall. Go out and eat food.
I don't recall any mention of previous presidents having food tasters. Not saying they didn't. I'm just saying I don't know that I've ever heard that that was true.
You know, I don't know that any other president, given a choice to eat dinner with the president of a country he's visiting, or just, you know, blowing him off and picking up at the restaurant over on the river Seine, you know, I've never heard of a president doing that.
No, me either.
No. Okay, by the way, we're not allowed to laugh tonight.
No laughing?
We're not allowed to laugh tonight because two reasons. One, there are serious matters to discuss.
That's true.
And two, I've got a raging sinus infection, which has worked its way down into my chest. And if I laugh, it hurts, and I cough, and it sounds like I'm dying, or at least hacking up a lung. And so rather than offend your ears by such nastiness, you'll have to suffer through this nasally, you know, sounding voice tonight, and no laughter. No laugh. You can't laugh. No derisive snorts either, because I'm likely to have a mess to clean up if I snort.
I see. Oops, I'm sorry. That wasn't a laugh. That was a chuckle. That was only a chuckle. See? And there you go. It just came right out. I'm sorry.
All right.
So there's a lot of things to cover.
We didn't do show prep because, and I want people to understand why we didn't do show prep tonight.
Yep.
Every week, Bill and I get on the phone before the show starts. We discuss, we've sent a few emails back and forth, things that we kind of want to touch. We spend some time on the phone talking about, you know, things that are going on that we want to talk about on the show. And we have these really, really great conversations.
Yeah.
That, you know, frankly, we should just do the show off of those conversations, because when we get onto the show and we try to bring them back up, you know, we're discussing things that we've already discussed that you haven't heard anything about, so we're shorthanding it, and it doesn't come across quite the same way. And so this week we're going to try something different. We haven't talked about what we're going to talk about.
No, we haven't. And boy, there's a ton of stuff to talk about.
But the big elephant in the room, I'm just going to leave it to the end. We can spend lots of time on it because, you know, Iran is something that's really in flux at this point.
Yep.
We could have lots of conversations. We could spend a whole hour talking about Iran.
Yep.
And I've got a particular point of view that is different than most. I have found myself to be on that point of view the last week or so. And it's very disconcerting, and I want to discuss it with you first because, you know, this is driving me just a little bit crazy. Now, three big things have come up in the conservative world in the last 6 months, and I've been on the, I won't say on the wrong side of it, but I'm on the side kind of scratching my head going, huh? Okay, now everybody knows that I was kind of like, you know, ambivalent at best about the tea parties when they first started out.
Yes, that's true.
I just didn't get it. I understood the argument about, dealing with taxes and really getting sick and tired of all the spending that was going on. I certainly understood. It was certainly a good, solid reason to be bringing that up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like somebody, running into a kitchen and going, "That smells terrible," and then walking away.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. Yeah, we got that. It smells terrible.
Yep.
And so, like, what? And that's the problem I had with tea parties. It was a lot of noise, a lot of shouting, a lot of real solid energy about an issue that's really, really important, but absolutely nothing about now what?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was my problem with the tea parties, and I'm still kind of in that position. Where,
are you really?
I want us to do something. It's not enough to be angry about something. You just can't say, "I'm pissed off about this," and then sit there. And while, yes, the Tea Party, going out and saying, getting together and having a large number of people show up and say, "We're really pissed off about this," and then that's it. It just stops there. Part of the reason is there's not much we can do. Realistically speaking, until next year, if Barack Obama wants to spend $10 billion or $10 trillion, and Congress is going to give him a green light, we can just sit up here and jump up and down and scream all we want. It's just simply not going to have any effect.
Let me give you a little contrarian point of view, it touches on the topic that you want to leave to the last. And I don't know how many of our listeners are on Twitter. I know that Tracy and I are, and I suspect that some of our listeners may be also. But over the last 3 days, they've had a massive tea party.
It's not been a tea party. No, because Iran is having... We're going to get into this, and I don't want to get into this.
I understand that, but will tell you that there is...
Okay, that's your point of view. Fine. We'll talk about that.
Okay.
I disagree.
Okay.
But let's get to the second issue that I Twittered about a whole bunch over the weekend and last week, and I'm just sitting there like going, okay, and I've been trying to... I've been sitting around all day today going, why am I holding this position when it is so contrary to everyone else? And the issue with Sarah Palin and David Letterman.
Uh-huh.
I just went, David Letterman is, a used-up comedian hack, an old fogey dude, that absolutely swings to the left. And, what do you expect from the left but, crass, disrespectful crap? And so why is anybody paying attention to him? Because, that's all you're going to get from him anyways. Why? I kind of got the idea that, if he had said it about Bristol, would it have been as big a deal? I don't know. He said it and he didn't understand Willow was there. Frankly, it was wrong in either place. But, wrong from, we've got people out there that are making, horrific cracks like that all over the place, left, right, and center. What did this one actually pop up, other than the fact that it was Sarah Palin? Now, I understand the general idea that Sarah Palin is a big, hunkin' target. And so, she's going to catch this crap. But my basic opinion was, you know, blow it off. He's not worth the time and effort. Let me tell you, you guys on the conservative side, just, in my opinion, just went nuts. Absolutely bonker shit. And I'm sitting there like going, okay, wait a minute. You know, getting the guy fired because he was a crass idiot, you know, I don't like what he said. I don't think it was right what he said. And I certainly don't think it was appropriate or respectful, you know, but, you know, we don't have any right not to be offended.
No.
You know, change the channel. Don't listen to him. Stop buying from the, you know, advertisers. I think that's all fine.
Those are all the things that those of us who took great exception to his comments did. The
right.
only thing is, we took one further step. We let his advertisers know that that's what we were doing. That's all.
I couldn't get up the emotion for it.
I understand. Tracy, actions have consequences. Everybody remembers Don Imus, right? Nappy-headed whores. What happens? He gets fired. How come he got fired? Because Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, a few of the other barn burners decided to make an example of him. I'm pragmatic enough to say, you know what? If that's the name of the game, fine.
Wait,
I'm going to play it better than you play
it. Is it right or wrong?
It was absolutely wrong that he got fired. But the point, Tracy, is if you decide that you want to go into the ring with Muhammad Ali, you do not tie one hand behind your back.
I'm not suggesting anybody shouldn't have done what they did. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, if you're offended, you know, go for it.
You know, if Letterman had confined his comment to traded in her slutty airline stewardess look, I would have said that was really stupid. That would have been the end of it. But when he goes on again against her 14-year-old daughter, it's like, oops, sorry, you crossed the line. That ain't right. I don't care who you are. I don't care if that's Barack Obama's daughter or Sarah Palin's daughter. You don't go there.
Okay, and that's certainly, you know, that's certainly a point of view that, you know, I can understand. You know, and believe it or not, to understand how bad I was having a problem with this.
Yeah.
Victoria turned to me and she goes, what if they had said he had said that about CJ?
Exactly.
And I kind of looked at her and I kind of went, okay, well, then he really needs not to be in the same room as I am.
Exactly.
Just, I mean, you know, it's pretty straightforward and simple as that. But,
yep.
Oh, you know, I could get Sarah Palin being pissed. I can get that. I get that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's just that I said this last week. I'm getting awful damn cynical.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, maybe it's the fact that, you know, for the last year I've just been immersed in politics and the amount of crap that is going on that I never paid any attention to before that has simply got me to the point where I'm going, okay, you know, we got a tsunami of disrespect, a tsunami of, you know, absolute crap coming down from the administration, you know, and we're going to stand there and go, bring it on, baby. Come on. You know, we're gonna get wiped. And I don't mean that he's going to win. You know, you're simply going to spend lots of time fighting against the current when I think there's probably other things that could be done that would be smarter. Now, go ahead and ask me, what do I think would be smarter? I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't know. I'm kind of lost at that point where I'm sitting there and kind of going, you know, I don't know what would reinstitute some respect into the general culture. You know, the nappy-headed host. I mean, you know, how could that even... there's a whole culture of people that are saying that, you know, and using it and abusing it, and it's pure disrespect. You know, the left has been purely disrespectful about, you know, towards Bush,
yep,
towards conservatives, towards Palin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were disrespectful to Hillary. You know,
yes, they were.
It's not, you know, isolated, you know, towards Sam Palin. It's all over the place. You know, I think I made this argument over a year ago on the original American Conservative Party site. You know, if we could reinstitute some kind of respect into the national culture, you know, I would say maybe as much as a quarter of our problems would disappear overnight.
Yeah, I agree. And Tracy, let me give you my take on it.
Okay.
That respect will reappear when actions have consequences.
Okay.
That will happen.
Okay.
Because
you know what? I can buy that. I can buy that, and maybe I can put together a little bit of, you know, brain power on the idea. Let me toss that around and see how that goes.
Yeah.
Because, okay, I'm going to jump the gun here by 15 minutes. And
okay.
I know you're going to be happy about that.
Okay.
Okay. You know, for the people that don't pay attention to Twitter, okay, you got to understand that this is a revolution that's being run, generated, enforced, helped, supported, and in other ways, absolutely encouraged via the internet, primarily through Twitter. It is absolutely being used to provide information and stuff like that. It is an amazing thing that's going on. If you don't go on Twitter, it's almost a necessary given for you to get on and just watch it. Now,
yep.
For anybody that's never been on Twitter and doesn't have any way to look at the Twitter stream other than the homepage of Twitter, okay, you're screwed.
Yes, you are.
Okay. Twitter stream runs at about 50 or 60 Twitters a second.
Mm-hmm.
It simply flies. And you can hit reload, 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 and
you're still going to miss most of it.
In 20 minutes, you're going to be an hour behind what's going on.
Exactly.
You know, you need to have something that can give you some kind of balance, some filtering processes that are going there, dealing with specific followers so you can follow them. There's a lot of ways to deal with it. You just can't jump into it. You get killed doing it. You know, but I don't want to sell Twitter, but it's doing big things here. Here's my problem with Iran, and this is consistent with my issue with the Tea Parties and Serbia.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Basically, right now, Iran is up in arms because I'm a Dinner Jacket, has declared himself the winner of the election. Okay? Now, I'm a Dinner Jacket is not, we're in agreement. The guy's just,
yes,
absolutely fucking,
he's probably clinically insane.
Bongs, to, you know, just nuts. He's just crazy. But he has either stolen this election or made sure that it gets going his way. But the big crowds that are absolutely against him and in support of, what is his name? You know his name. You've been talking.
Mumasi?
Mumasi.
Something close to that.
Mumasi. Okay. So Mumasi is the one that everybody's going, he's the real person that we want. Now, we should all be sort of, you know, supporting this election of Iran. Now, I'm kind of a big fan about elections, frankly. I think everybody's got that. You know, I like elections.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had elections in, you know,
November.
Palestine, you know, about 2 years ago, and we got Hamas.
Yeah,
you know,
we did.
You know, so elections by themselves, Barack Obama, by themselves don't necessarily mean good things happen. Okay? You can have people that decide that, you know, what we really, really like is, you know, I'm a dinner jod, you know, I'm a dinner jacket, is just a little bit too not crazy enough.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to get somebody that's more crazy. And so we want to get this other guy. Now, that may or may not be true, but in this case, it's kind of true. Because the guy that everybody's cheering for, who lost in this election, is the nightmare asshole that started Iran's nuclear programs.
Yep.
He's the guy that started things. I mean, he's just, you know, taking and running with. This guy was the premier for most of the early 90s. This guy is not any better. He might be less crazy, but he's certainly not going to change any major policies. Will he pull the trigger on Israel? Maybe not. Maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
But he's certainly no friend of the United States. He's certainly no friend of democracy. He's certainly no friend of Israel. He's certainly no friend of anything good. So I'm sitting there like going, we're cheering for this guy? Isn't that the problem that people have been saying about America for the last 50 years is that we keep cheering the dictators? This guy's bad. I'm a Dinajad's bad too, but I mean, you know, we're cheering for the evilest of the least evil of the two evils. It's not even a lesser of two evils. They're two very evils, and we're cheering one on. So that's my problem. I'm finding it really hard to get, you know, really up for all these, you know, Iranians that are voting. You know, they want our vote to count. You know, but you know they want Israel to
Tracy,
go away.
Look at our own history. Okay,
right.
We had a revolution, 1773 or 4, whatever the heck it was. Half of the people that were against Britain were actually in favor of a monarchy here in the United States. It wasn't the United States.
We just wanted
then.
Our own king. We didn't like the king we had. We just wanted a new king.
My point is this. When you have a revolution, you don't necessarily know what the outcome of that is going to be. Do you realize that most of the people alive in Iran today don't have any active memory of their revolution or their war with Iraq?
Yeah.
So to stay, oh gosh, we're rooting for the least of the two evils, both of them being evil, is really kind of, I think, simplifying it. Because I will tell you that I don't think anybody knows, assuming that these people are successful in Iran, I don't think anybody knows where that's actually going to wind up.
I agree.
And if that takes the autocracy of the mullahs out of the picture, I think we're dealing with a whole different picture.
Okay, let me offer you my take on what that whole different picture could be like.
Okay.
Pakistan.
I'm sorry?
Pakistan. We could have another Pakistan right there in Iran.
Okay. I would submit that our relations are better with Pakistan than they are with Iran, but okay.
Our relationship with everybody is better than our relationship with Iran.
Yeah,
I don't know that
that's
we have
true.
I don't know that we have any worse relationship with anybody than the one we have with Iran.
I wouldn't disagree with that.
When
you talk about nation states, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, talking about nation states, I mean, you know, North Korea may be pissed off more at us than, you know, Iran is, but, you know, that's kind of like, you know, the squirrel sitting in the tree, you know, scratching
at you.
Because you're walking around the tree.
Okay.
He could jump out and bite you and, you know, dump some stuff on you, but, you know, for the most part, you're going to ignore him. And that's kind of how I think Barack Obama is treating North Korea. I think it's kind of stupid because what he's doing is he's ignoring the squirrel, but he's walking around the bottom of the tree.
Yeah.
you can ignore the squirrel, but you know what you're doing is pissing him off. Okay?
Yep.
So, you know, eventually the squirrel is going to get sick of being pissed off. He's going to do something.
Yep.
Okay? And that's basically what, you know, I'm killing Jill and Jung Young is. You know what?
Right.
I'm extremely bad with these names. I'm glad nobody is asking me to run for president because they say, You name the president of North Korea, I'm going to sit there and say, you know, Kim is ill. I don't know.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You mean
that madman?
It's over there.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
I'm not a Yahoo, it's in Israel. I'm going to get myself all kinds of trouble with that.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I like that one, by the way. I used that one over the weekend. You know,
oh, is that right? Did you?
I'm not in Yahoo. Yeah. I'm not a Yahoo.
All right.
You know,
and what was the reaction?
I'm not a Yahoo. You know, I liked his speech, by the way. I read, you know, a transcript of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think he did a pretty good job in there.
Anyways, yep, I think he did too.
I think he pretty much stuck his finger up at, you know, Barack Obama and said, "Screw you, buddy." And aren't you happy I said that? And Barack Obama's shaking his head, going, "Yeah,
I think that's pretty good." Yeah.
Let's talk about some of the stuff that I wanted to get in before we started talking about Iran.
Okay.
So we'll talk about Iran when we get to Iran. All right.
Okay.
The Waxman bill on cap and trade.
Cap and trade.
The health care bill. Who's running that? Kennedy.
It's Kennedy.
Okay. I gotta be honest. I thought about this. I'm gonna say it. You know. Is he alive still?
Well, you know, I'm
certain I would have heard about it, but you know, I'm certain he's not wrangling a bill on the floor of the Senate at this particular point in time.
No, I'm
Kennedy bill.
Yeah.
Is it a memorial bill?
Something. Although, you know what? He just got thrown under the bus today.
By Obama?
By Obama. Well, by Gibbs.
Almost. Okay.
I mean, Gibbs said, this is not the administration's bill. And he said that in response to somebody bringing up the cost of that puppy. Now, right now, the CBO is saying $1.5 trillion. There are others' estimates out there. Working again with a draft bill because nobody really knows here yet. They're saying $2 to $4 trillion over 10 years.
Okay, you know, first of all, you may have never heard me say this over the winter.
Mm.
I think I said it once or twice over the winter at one of our shows. We have a rule in our family. Okay,
yeah.
When the weatherman is predicting snow,
mm-hmm.
if the number 4 is in his prediction.
Yeah.
He doesn't know how much.
Ah.
So if he says 2 to 3 inches of snow, then it's going to be, you know, anything up to 2 or 3 inches of snow.
Okay.
But it could be light, it could be a dusting, it could be nothing.
You're right.
If he says 8 or 10 inches of snow, we're going to get hammered. You know, it could be 10, 15 inches of snow, we're just going to get hammered.
Yeah.
But if he says 3 to 5 inches of snow.
Yeah.
He doesn't know. It could be 5, it could be 1.
Ah, I got it.
No.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
So, if the weatherman says 4, you're screwed on the weather.
Okay.
I was going somewhere with this.
Well, because some of the estimates were 2 to 4 trillion.
Oh, okay. Here's the deal. If the government says that something is going to cost $1 trillion,
mm-hmm.
if the T word is used, okay,
mm-hmm.
I don't care what it is. They don't know how much it's going to cost. They really don't know what it's going to cost. Because nobody, I'm an economics person. I deal with numbers all day long. I do all kinds of numbers. I crunch numbers. I do that for a living. I do that all day long. Numbers, 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 numbers. Okay? $1 trillion, incomprehensible how much $1 trillion is.
Absolutely.
People just don't understand. Well, $1 trillion here, no. Okay? You don't understand $1 trillion.
No, okay. They don't.
People, every one of us could spend $1,000 a second, okay, and we couldn't go through $1 trillion in our lifetime.
That's true.
Forget
actually, I read something today that maybe puts it in a little bit better perspective. A trillion seconds ago, it was 29,000 B.C.,
okay.
Yeah.
Were we talking then?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You'd have to ask Darwin on that one. I don't know.
Okay. So yeah. Look. I mean, you know, you got. If they say a trillion, they have no clue.
No
clue. They just don't know how much it's going to cost. Because,
exactly.
You know, it's just not. It's like the number four and stuff. They don't know. So when somebody says, this is going to cost $1 trillion, that's bullshit. You don't know what it's going to cost. I can almost, I will put another caveat to that.
Mm.
Not only do they not know how much it's going to cost, but it's going to cost a whole lot more
yep.
than they think it's going to cost.
Yes, it will.
I can pretty much guarantee you that if the government says they're going to spend $1 trillion, nobody's going to come out in 3 years and go, we only spent $500 million. Isn't that great?
Yeah,
it's
not
going
right.
to happen.
No.
It's not going to happen. Somebody's going to
not going to happen.
We only spent $2.6 trillion. What the hell? We planned on one.
Yeah, what the heck?
Okay, so that's the new Coil-Cazel rule about government spending. If it says a trillion, they haven't got a clue, but it's absolutely guaranteed to be a hell of a lot more.
Absolutely. Well, and if you look at government programs in general, that's always the case. I mean, how many times do you hear of a government project coming in under time, under budget?
Apparently
I haven't.
It happens in Alaska.
I'm 66 years old, and I haven't heard that one yet.
Apparently it happens in Alaska. Go figure.
Yeah. I take that back. I have heard that on Alaska.
Okay. Yep. I do hear it on a rare occasion in certain places, but I can guarantee you it didn't happen in any place where a Democrat was in charge.
Nope. And I'm not sure it's happened in terms when the federal government is in charge. States, maybe. Yeah.
Hey, you know, you could always think about Massachusetts. You know, they've been
the big dig?
They've been Democrats forever, and they're Democrats all over the place, and that place has fallen apart.
Oh,
Detroit's
man.
Been Democrats forever. Michigan's been Democrats forever. That place has fallen apart.
Look at California.
My parents, yeah. Well, you know, Arnie's not supposed to be, you know, a Democrat.
Yeah, well, that's just because he hasn't gotten around to changing his registration, that's all.
I told you about that. I think I told you, I don't know, I told everybody else. When I was married a long time ago, we went to visit on our honeymoon tour, driving around the country. We went to visit his uncle in just outside of Lincoln, Nebraska. Omaha,
really?
Nebraska. Yeah, he had a nice little. All they had left was a little farmhouse on like an acre. He used to have like 160 acres and sold it off.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, you know, old guy, like in his 70s. Then we came and, you know, we had dinner. It was really, really nice. And, you know, and he kept on, you know, kicking at his foot and shoving things over. And all he kept saying was, damn Democrats. Damn Democrats. I'm thinking, we're not talking politics. What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah. Right.
You know, and maybe he's thinking about something that was going on around, you know, budget time or taxes or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, we're talking and stuff like that. And I happened to notice a few things that disturbed me a little bit because of my personal history in the back. And, you know, I kind of, you know, went to my ex and said, you know, I'm not going to feel real comfortable sleeping here overnight. And he looked down and he goes, why? And I said, well, you know, because there's cockroaches everywhere.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, yeah, I kind of noticed it. Maybe it'll be better up in the bedrooms. And it was. Thank God.
Oh, boy.
You know, but, you know, as we're getting ready to go up to the bedroom for the night, you know, the old man turned around and said, you know, if the damn Democrats bother you, you know, just get under the blankets. They won't go in the blankets. I'm sitting there like going, okay, that's one way of calm.
I guess.
You know, when you think about it, you know, shine a light into a room full of Democrats and they're all going to run for cover.
Oh, yeah, they do.
All right, so, nice long story as far as telling them the damn Democrats got one.
There you go.
All right, so
I just
the
picked up a new euphemism.
Was, you know, who is running the healthcare thing? You know, Kennedy's not doing it. Somebody's got to be doing it. So we've got these two bills. Everybody's, like, all up in the arms. We need to do things to stop these.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing we can do. If the Democrats actually, you know, stick together, cap and trade, Waxman's bill is going to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing we can do to stop it.
I'm not sure that that's true.
Well, you know, there's got to be some Democrats that are really smarter than the rest, but I frankly not seeing.
I think that some of those Blue Dog Democrats are
shaking
looking
in
at
their leaves.
I'm thinking that they're gonna see the light and they're gonna scurry.
Well, that would certainly be a nice idea.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
Healthcare, I think the dollar amount is going to probably do exactly the same thing.
Yep.
You know, they're gonna try. You know, it might be end up being a watered down version, which is of course worse than
letting anything
go through. But you know, so we've got these two bill things going on. We have Iran going on.
Mm-hmm.
And of course lots of people are spending time with Sarah Palin and David Letterman. I'm going like, okay.
Yep.
I get the balance that's going on here. Alright. But the thing that is most interesting to me, and this is the thing that actually I started thinking about going, I wrote a story a long time ago. The premise of the story is that major catastrophes are never about major failures. Major catastrophes are always about a sequence of small little mistakes. That if you can interrupt that sequence of mistakes anywhere along the line, you can avert the catastrophe.
Okay.
Now, obviously, a tsunami,
not so much. Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, 9/11, there was probably a dozen places where a small intervention could have stopped that.
Yep.
Now, nobody could know where that intervention could have happened or would have happened, or if in the end it would have actually stopped it. But the premise of the story that I was writing was that major catastrophes are a sequence of small events.
Okay.
Initially, not clearly associated with the catastrophe itself.
Mm-hmm.
Point. Barack Obama, last week, fired Colonel Walpert.
Yes, he did. That's going to come back to bite him.
Now, this is a small thing. Compared to everything else that's going on right now,
mm-hmm.
This is a small thing.
Yes, it is.
And it's small potatoes as far as the bigger problem of government corruption.
Yes.
Okay? But Barack Obama really, really stepped in a Jar Jar Binks.
Yep. He certainly did.
And I think this is one of those little things that has catastrophe written all over it.
I think you're right. Absolutely.
And because it's a small thing, I don't think a lot of people are going to pay attention to it. I think a lot of people should be paying attention to it because it is clear that what we have been saying for the last 6 months, Barack Obama does not think that the rules apply to him, that what he wants is what will happen.
Tracy, do you know how avalanches start? Most avalanches start with a single pebble being dislodged. And that causes the material above it to fall, which causes other material to be hit, which causes that material to fall, until you have an actual avalanche, where mountainsides come down, snow walls come down, all of those things. And their power is irresistible. Don't try and stop an avalanche, folks. It doesn't work.
Right. Try and stop a tsunami.
So, stop and think about all of the little pebbles that are up there. We've got Murtha with his pack, with his airport to nowhere, with his pay to play, and his lobbying organization that apparently a lot of elected officials are involved in. We have very belatedly Who's the congressman from Louisiana that had the $100,000 in cold cash? Cold Cash Jefferson, was it?
Cold Cash Jefferson.
Yep. Who is just now, 4 years after the fact, is just now going on trial.
Okay.
We have Nancy Pelosi with the CIA. We have all kinds of little pebbles that are starting to move. And now we have the firing of an inspector general who is to be immune from political pressures. And he got fired. I'm thinking we've got a pebble that got dislodged.
Well, I'm what I'm wondering about it is, what is he going to do about it?
Good question.
Because what he should do is reinstate him.
Yep.
If he does, then Walperin is untouchable.
Absolutely. But there's fallout if he does that. The district attorney, the U.S. attorney that matter got referred to there in Sacramento, is a Obama campaigner and campaign donator. He's the guy who said, I'm not going to prosecute this. Kevin Johnson. I love the way Kevin Johnson played basketball. The guy was great. I loved the way he played basketball. As a mayor of Sacramento, meh, not so much. And apparently the sticking point is that the inspector general wants Kevin Johnson barred from receiving federal funds. And some people go ahead.
I'm all of that is interesting, and I think it's pretty much irrelevant.
Why?
It's not irrelevant to... It's a diversion. It's a tangent. Okay? I want to stick right on this particular point about Obama. Okay? The corruption angle, everybody gets the corruption angle. We're so immune to the idea that, politicians are corrupt that, we practically expect it. In Chicago, you're ranked about how good your corruption is, as far as getting a political position.
Mm-hmm.
So, my focus is in this really small point that we have been calling Barack Obama, God, because he has this God complex. Those people are not paying a whole lot of attention to the fact that, it's his way or, I'm going to crush you.
Mm-hmm.
He's been doing this. I won. His snubs of Britain, his snubs of France, his repetitive, when you sit there and kind of go, is the man stupid?
Mm-hmm.
Or is the man really that out of touch with reality? And I think this is one of those places where it is most clear, because he can have a food tester. Everybody's going to kind of go, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's stupid, but it's, yeah. He can snub Britain, and most people are kind of going to go, well, that's stupid, but Britain will get over it because Britain's got a stiff upper lip, and, they know that in 4 years he's gone, and America likes Britain. Barack Obama may not like Britain, but America loves Britain.
Yep.
And Britain loves America. We might have problems on occasion at the political level, but country to country, close buddy pal friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think he could do a whole lot of damage there. But it is a... You sit there and kind of go, and then he steps into this little piece of shit. And it's blatantly illegal. And he knows it's blatantly illegal.
Mm-hmm.
he was a co-sponsor on the bill that set it up this way.
Exactly.
So he knows, right, because all politicians who co-sponsor bills and vote for them know what's in the bill, right?
Absolutely. Sure, okay. They do.
So he knows what's in there. He can play that any want, but he knows that he stepped in doo-doo here. Now he needs to try and be quiet about it. You know, he needs to try to shake off the little shit that he stepped down in his shoe and hope nobody knows it's the stake. If he reinstates, he calls attention to the stake.
Mm-hmm.
He has to hope that he can create enough other diversions that this dies down so it's not a big issue. But I don't think so.
You know, the problem with focusing on the small details is sometimes when you do that, you miss the bigger picture. And let me draw an analogy. President Bush's approval ratings through the first about 5 to 6 years of his presidency were pretty good. I mean, they weren't great, but they weren't terrible. It was only the last couple of years of his presidency when he absolutely plummeted. Now, you ask yourself, why was that? Why was that? Because there was this continuing drumbeat of, oh, look how stupid he is, look at how bad he is, look at all of the Chimpy McBush, Hitler, Cheney, Halliburton wrongdoing, et cetera, et cetera. Look at all of the illegal, quote, wiretapping going on, et cetera, et cetera, and a constant drumbeat. Let me tell you that with a constant drumbeat of, oh, God, he fired the IG, he isn't supposed to do that, oh, he's stiff Britain, oh, he was very unsupportive of the people of Iran simply wanting a fair election, oh, this, oh, that, oh, the next thing. And all of a sudden, those take a toll, and popularity starts to go down. Already seen that.
I agree.
So, I mean, right now, the last poll that I saw showed him with a 0%, I can't say approval rating. There's as many people disapprove of him as approve of him.
All right,
of his performance.
Okay, let's shift here. Because we're getting long in tooth here.
We're going to run out of time, aren't we?
We're going to run out of time, and I want to get into Iran. We've already covered some of the stuff. What it is? What I'm interested in, is Iran is going to be what it is when the dust settles. I think the people of Iran are going to get the message that the people of the United States support the general idea of fair elections and democracy.
Yep.
Okay. Regardless of what's going on at the political level.
Yes.
I think the Twitterverse and everything else that's going on in that regard is a net positive.
Absolutely.
The question is, what should Obama be doing? Is this the test? I don't think this is the test. I really don't think it's the test.
No.
If Israel mixes it up with Iran now, that's the test. Okay? And I said this over the weekend. Tactically, this is a perfect time for Israel to strike.
But strategically, it'd be terrible.
Strategically, it would be a really, really bad idea.
Yep.
And frankly, I think Netanyahu is a strategist.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
I think he'll do the right thing there.
Yeah.
So the question is, it's not going to become that test. What is the appropriate response of Obama? Now, he's given us a response, and frankly, I don't think it was that good.
But what is
the right response there? Because if he comes down hard on the government of Iran and it's cracking down on the protesters, then the government can say that the protesters are a tool of the great Satan,
yes,
and the clueless masses will rebel against the rebellion. So I don't think he could come down hard. But I think the mamby-pamby crap that he did, you know, he needs a Netanyahu speech where he says everything that everybody wants him to say and everybody knows, wink, wink, nod, nod, bullshit. You know, I don't think that's in Obama's ability to do that.
No.
Because I don't think he supports the democracy.
Oh, I'm with you there. I think democracy is a flea under his blanket he'd like to get rid of.
Are you calling him a Democrat?
Actually, I thought it was... Yeah, that was what I was calling him.
You calling him a Democrat? Is that what you calling him?
Yeah, shine that flashlight.
All right, so...
So what does he do? I think a better statement other than he was, what was the word that he used? Disappointed? Nah, it was stronger than that. But whatever the word was, I thought it was weak. And I thought what he should have said was, it is incumbent upon every government to be able to demonstrate the fairness of their elections.
Well, but you know what? Okay, here's my problem. Does anybody with any brains, okay, and if you disagree with me, I'm not saying you're brainless.
Right.
Yes, I am.
But it's okay.
Does anybody with half a brain think that the Iranian elections... we're going to be fair, open, and honest elections.
No.
So that's kind of like holding them to a standard that they're not even going to pretend to adhere to.
But then you see you can unleash Jimma to say, we think that there ought to be observers of these elections in each place that there is a ballot box. I mean, it's kind of sometimes useful to have idiots on your payroll.
You're making me laugh.
I'm sorry. I'm trying not to make you laugh.
Useful idiots. Okay. Well, Barack Obama has proven himself to be a useful idiot. You know, Hillary Clinton should actually call him up and say, your village called, their idiot's missing. It takes a village to make a president. And right now, what we've got is, three people and a campfire.
Yep.
We don't have an even close to a village. I think he's at a point where, there's no good option for him as far as Iran is concerned. And, not doing anything is going to be as bad as doing something big. The mamby-pamby is taking, as far as I'm concerned, as far as how people are reading it, are taking it for exactly that, that it was weak, that it was pathetic, and that, in the face of overwhelming, civilians reaching up and saying, we want democracy, he should be standing with them.
Yes, he should. And he doesn't have to do it partisanly. He doesn't have to condemn the Iranian government. All he has to do is make a comment about fair, free, open, and transparent elections. I mean, that's all he needs to do. I mean, for gosh sake, Sarkozy, the French, came out and condemned it. I mean, give me a break here, folks.
Yeah, it's certainly to be said that, when you're happier about the French president than the American president, I keep going back to the original idea of Rousseau. I don't always agree with him, but...
Yeah, I know.
This isn't the big test.
No.
It could become a big test depending on how things go, but I prefer that it not be the big test. Mainly because I don't think we can win this test. If it becomes a big test, I don't think we can win it.
No. We've got no leverage. We've got no nothing.
You know, Obama simply is not capable of doing it. There may not be a way to win it under any circumstances, but certainly he lacks any capacity to do so.
Yeah.
What am I thinking about that?
Although I will make this observation, and I am sure that you have seen it also because we both pay attention to Twitter. I am particularly struck by Iranians in Iran who are tweeting and saying to us here in the U.S., the whole Twitterverse, thank you for helping us.
Well,
I think that engenders more goodwill, people to people, than the government contacts.
Look, I don't believe that the Iranian people have a big problem with the American people.
I don't think so either.
I don't think that there are, what is it, 197 countries? I don't think there's, a dozen countries on the planet that absolutely loathe Americans, as a people.
Right.
I just don't. Yes, we are loud, obnoxious, self-righteous little pricks sometimes.
Yep, absolutely.
But in the end, I think most people would rather be one of those loud, obnoxious, arrogant little pricks than to be on the outside.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, in the big scheme of things, the American people want good things to happen to the Iranians.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We do. We want good things to happen to them. I do. Miss Cynicism run amok here, like my nose.
Yeah, right.
Okay? I want good things to happen to the Iranian people. Their leadership, and I'm talking about the mullahs. I'm a dinner jacket. You've got morons in every culture, so...
Absolutely.
That gets to be in charge. The mullahs, are like most other dictatorial religious people throughout history. They got power, God be damned.
Yep.
Because God is going to do whatever they tell God to do.
Or when you're the only one who can understand God, it makes it really easy to have God agree with you, right?
Well, if you're the only one that could be allowed to hear God.
Yeah, there you go.
How do you know? So, mm-hmm. There is that particular point of view. I want good things to happen to the Iranian people.
Yeah.
I don't think it can happen, given the current set of circumstances. If this really explodes and really gets out of hand, and let me tell you, it's really exploded and really gotten out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a dinner jacket at this point, really needs to shut down all contact with the outside world, and they're not having any luck with that at all.
Not a bit.
And until he does, he can't do what he wants to do.
Oh, right.
Which is turn the streets red and get everybody back in line.
And he's trying it. I mean, he's trying to do that, but it isn't working real well.
All right. We got about a minute left.
Okay. I'm just kind of checking tweets here to see if there's anything big breaking in terms of Iran. I'm not seeing anything in the first.
I think we should watch the Walford issue. I think it's the little Jar Jar Binks award of the day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I think it's going to come back and haunt him.
Yes, it will.
About that.
And in fact, it was a Democratic senator, I believe, today that said, "I'm sorry, you can't do that. You signed you sponsored legislation that said that wasn't the way it should work."
All right, Iran. We'll see how it shakes out over the next week.
Yep.
The budget bills are next month sometime. Hopefully. My 10-day sinus infection will run its course, and I'll be done with it by Monday.
That'll be good.
And then we shall re-evaluate our show prep of the show.
Yeah.
Kind of liked it. You know, we'll
I
see
did
how
too.
It works.
Yep.
Bill, have a good week.
Tracy,
be
you
safe.
Too. Shout out to my CT buddies.
Have a good night.
Good night.
Done.
Cool. Mine still
oh,
says 48.
I've been waiting to do this for 10 minutes.
Oh.
Yuck.
Yep. I've had those before. Thank heavens I haven't had one in quite a while, but man, they are no
good.
Well,
I haven't had one in a long time. Probably about 4 or 5 years. But I used to get 3 a year like clockwork.
Oh, man. Oh.
And they ran 10 days like clockwork.
Yep. Yep.
And, you know, I just got used to dealing with them. And I always made sure that whatever the 5th or 6th day was, you know, that was the day that I was going to take off from work.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, because that would be the day that I know it would be the worst.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when
mm-hmm.
I would feel the shittiest. And
yep.
On Friday, when it was starting, I had a massive headache. My teeth hurt. My jaw hurt.
Yep.
And then a client called, and I had spent an hour on the phone with his wife.
Oh,
I had
boy.
Done 2 emails with her about things.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me at 5:30. I'm in the car. We're getting dinner. I'm trying to pull out of a driveway.
Yeah.
He calls. He goes, I've been busy all day and haven't had time to check email. So tell me what's going on.
Oh, jeez. Thank you very much. Oh, God.
You know, I wasn't real polite about it. I got out of the driveway. I started, you know, the drive-through. I started driving, and then I picked up the phone, and CJ said it's the scariest thing she ever heard.
Oh, boy.
Because I was so polite.
Oh, yeah?
She said her and Victoria talked about it later.
Uh-huh.
And she said, man, was Tracy mad. You know, and of course, I was really polite. And
yeah.
Really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, I've never seen you so mad.
Oh, yeah.
And was it scary mad? She goes, well, it wasn't at me, so no.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But,
how's CJ doing, by the way? She okay?
She's doing fine. She's out of school. She's happy.
Well, actually, I was kind of thinking more about her adventure with her girlfriend.
Fine. It's past
That's...
history. We saw them at graduation last week.
Okay.
You know, everything seemed to be fine.
Yep.
You know, I don't know what they're going to go ahead and do. You know, the issue is, you know, done for us as far as we're concerned.
But they're still friends.
Yeah. As a matter of fact,
okay.
I made a specific effort to say when they were at the house the day it happened, I said,
mm-hmm.
There is no repercussions in this household. Maddie is welcome in this house. There is
mm-hmm.
no limitations on CJ being with Maddie out
mm-hmm.
and about or staying over at Maddie's house.
Yep.
There will be no, you know, issues here
Good.
About CJ and Maddie as friends.
Yeah.
You know, it's
okay.
just not going to happen.
Yep, good.
So,
okay.
That was as much to her father as it was to her.
Well, sure, yeah. I mean, you know, there's usually multiple audiences for something like that.
So, you know,
yeah.
that's you know, I in the long scheme of things, I think she'll remember it. I think
yep.
it'll have an impact upon what, you know, she does in the future, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
But,
you know, as long as her dad doesn't get too heavy-handed on it, that'll be good. I mean, you know,
apparently, from what I heard, was the next day he took her out to see a movie.
Yeah, I remember you saying something about that, too, so that's good. Yep.
Right.
Okay.
I consider that to be probably about the right approach at that point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, they could have some serious talks about it. They could, you know, deal with some approaches to how to go forward with, but that would indicate to me that personally they didn't have a whole lot of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. I think my approach, because frankly it was kind of the way that I was treated, was you know, that's probably cause for a grounding, which is kind of the equivalent of a timeout to be able to pause and reflect. Did that with our adopted daughter that we had living with us for a while on her senior trip. They forget where they went, but she got drunk and got caught, and so she got suspended for school for a week, and so Marilee and I said, you know, that's probably about right. You're be on the phone all you want. You can have friends over, but you're here until you go back to school. And it worked. You know, she wasn't happy about it, but she wasn't sullen. So it was like, okay. And
yeah,
we talked about, you know, what are the things that can happen when you do that? You know, and told her about alcohol poisoning and et cetera, and saying, you know, you can, in fact, kill yourself doing that. And we don't want to see that happen.
Yeah, CJ and I had talked, I think I told you this, you know, probably about no more than a month before,
mm-hmm.
about the idea that, you know, stupid little shit can have big, long-lasting repercussions.
Yep.
You know, and you need to think about the stupid little shit.
Exactly. If you pay attention to that, you'll never get into the big stuff.
You know, and I told her that I've done some serious crap in my life, and, you know,
yep.
some of it was really stupid and bad,
yep.
and she
mm-hmm.
was like, what? And I said, I'm not telling you.
Nah. Not giving you ideas.
She goes, does Mom know? I said, no, she doesn't. She knows that I've done some stupid things and that we're not going to have a discussion about it, and
uh-huh.
we're not going to have a discussion about it. She goes, does Grandma know about it? I went, no, Grandma doesn't know about it, and we're not going to have that conversation either.
Yeah, that's right.
you know, the only thing that I say to the people that I'm willing to have a part of that discussion is when I make the crack that I like going down dark alleys on a Saturday night just for fun,
mm-hmm.
There's been a time in my life where that wasn't an issue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So,
yep.
You know,
I mean, we all do things when we're young and dumb. We do. Question is, do we learn from them?
You know, no.
Yeah, I do.
You know, well, I don't want to say no just to say no.
I
but
know.
The simple fact of the matter is that, you know, those events happened
mm-hmm.
because at those times, in those places, under those circumstances, it happened. And the odds of those circumstances and those things at that time happening again
pretty small.
Is so remote
mm-hmm.
that, you know, there's no value to be taken from the result. It's kind of like, you know, Victoria loves biographies.
Ah, okay.
Loves biographies. She will read, and as a matter of fact, 90% of the books she buys
mm-hmm.
are biographies.
Huh. Okay.
Okay. Mostly about famous people and
mm-hmm.
very seldom historical.
Ah, okay.
So, you know, and I say, why do you read that? She goes, well, I find it interesting how they got to where they are. I said, they got to where they are because under the circumstances that they found themselves in, their personalities, you know, the events led them to there.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't recreate those events, those circumstances, in that situation. You know, if you spent your whole life trying to recreate it. You know, they're there because the whole confluence of events led them to there.
Yes, indeed.
There's nothing to be learned from their lives because the lessons that they learned are specific to those set of circumstances, themselves, you know, and that situation. You can't recreate it, so there's nothing to learn from it.
Not from a third person's point of view, that's true. But you can learn from your own. I have learned judgment from my mistakes.
Well, you know, and I agree with you. I've said this to Victoria, I've said it to CJ. You know, I will never be in another permanent relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, my intent is to be with Victoria until one or both of us are gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the assumption is that Victoria will go along before I do.
Mm-hmm.
That may be an erroneous assumption at some points, but, you know, given her health and such like that, she's going to go well.
I mean, that's
well
the expectation,
You know, I'm not going to get involved, you know, permanently with anybody after this.
Right.
I'm simply tired.
Yeah.
Waiting for fucking work.
Yeah.
And I'm getting old.
Work.
You know, and I'm just not willing to put that kind of effort anymore into it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to put the effort into this relationship because I've got a lot invested in it.
Sure.
So, but another one? No, not interested. I'm just simply not going to be in that situation. And the reason I am is because Roger and Victoria are exactly the same person.
Is that right? Wow.
You know, one has, you know, a pair of nuts, and the other one is a pair of nuts.
So,
but, you know, there's in all of the fundamental ways, there is no difference. They are, you know, they are the same person.
Wow.
And I realized, once I realized that was the situation with Victoria, and that, you know, and it was actually quite a while after we had partners, so it was too late. When I realized that, okay, so there was 10 years between them.
Wow.
And apparently, not enough. I made the first mistake. 10 years later, I made the same mistake.
Yeah.
So, you know, here I am 15 years later, and I'm thinking, you know, if something happens to Victoria, you know, I want to wait about 30 or 40 years.
There you go. Yeah.
Before I consider before I consider anything. But it's I've proven that I'm really consistent in my picks, and I don't like those anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let's see. If that's what I'm going to pick, I'll just not pick anymore. Yeah. Although I will say that my mom was married three times, and the third one took. So I don't know if that was just blind happenstance luck or what, but they were good for each other.
Well, the question I would have for you: did you know the first two?
Well, I knew the first one, who was my father. Way too
and
young.
And how close, you know, looking at the three of them, were the first two consistent and the third one a break from that pattern?
Superficially, yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
But not at a fundamental level?
On a fundamental level, the first and the third were fundamentally different. I can't tell you about the second because I don't have any conscious memory of him because I was too young.
Uh-huh.
The only thing I do know is that according to the family, he tried to kill me. So that may bias me a little bit.
Yeah, it might have a little bit of an impact on your psyche.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Exactly.
Well,
definitely a fundamental difference between the first and the third. Absolutely.
Oh, well, you know, then she broke her pattern.
Yes, she did.
You know, and that can make a big difference. You know, but
knowing my mom the way I did, that surprises me mightily. So,
The internal mechanism of the average human being, and I mean that average human being. I'm not talking about, you know, the average person that's walking around because they're not average human beings.
Exactly.
Mindless mass. You know, is a pretty significant piece of hardware.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, a significant amount of retrospect can lead you to all kinds of interesting things. Now, I'm going to say something to you because you and I have, you know, a history, and I think I can ask you these type questions with relative impunity.
Okay.
All right. Now, I'm going to make a statement, and I'm going to ask you if you're surprised by that statement.
Okay.
Prayer works.
No, that doesn't surprise me.
Did I say it?
No. I'm just saying that does not surprise me that you would say that.
Okay. Why?
Because...
That was not my second question.
That's okay. Because while you may not believe in a God as presented by the Bible or the Quran or whatever, to me it's fairly apparent that you believe in a higher power. So when you say prayer to me, I'm not making an automatic assumption that that is a prayer to the God of the Old Testament or the New Testament or whatever else. I'm interpreting that as saying that is a statement or a request or a question of a higher power.
Well, you know, I have said this often enough that it is clear. If you name that which created the universe God, then you and I can agree God exists.
Mm-hmm.
So on that level, the idea that there is a creative force,
mm-hmm.
and that is not an intelligent design argument. It is simply,
yeah, I understand.
There is a thought to the universe.
Okay.
On that basis, if you want to ascribe that, this word
higher power.
Higher power. If you want to ascribe that name, higher power, to that, then I would agree with you.
Okay.
And the reason prayer works is because, we as humans can fundamentally alter not the universe, certainly our perception of the universe,
mm-hmm.
And given sufficient effort, our understanding of the universe.
Okay.
Prayer does that.
Okay.
Prayer focuses you on that specific issue.
Okay.
And that mind, that power that exists in us, you know, has an impact upon that.
Okay.
CJ and I both fought the idea of moving to California.
Mm-hmm.
Both didn't like that idea.
Mm-hmm.
And for 6 weeks after this came down, life was not fun in this house.
Mm-hmm.
Because Victoria was mindset to do this,
mm-hmm.
and we were mindset against it.
Mm-hmm.
And that that was, a lot of tension because of that.
Yep.
When we had the garage sale, I sat CJ down outside and I said, the funny thing is that I know that this happens. When I'm really in a pissed off mood, Mom gets mad.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't necessarily know why she's mad, but she's mad.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason she's mad, part of the reason I understand that she's mad, is because I'm mad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if I can stop being mad, then Mom calms down.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing has to be said. Nothing has to be done. It simply happens.
Sure.
I said, you and I, need to change our perspective. I said, we need to sit here. I said, it's not going to happen over 2 minutes. It's not going to happen overnight. It may take a few days. I said, but you and I need to get on board with this idea of going to California and get excited about California. I said, if you and I can do that, this is going to be a lot easier on all of us.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And she said, I'll try. I said,
good for
I'll
her.
Try. And by the end of the week, she was excited about going.
Really?
And the tension in the house dropped perceptually.
Yep. Isn't it funny how that works that way?
You know, it is the power of the mind, mostly perception, but not always, mm-hmm. that is the impact that we can have on other people just because mm-hmm. of the way we perceive them.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer works.
Yep.
I think it works the other way, too.
Explain that. I'm not sure I'm following it.
Okay. If you're mad, okay, for a good reason, righteous indignation,
mm-hmm.
okay, I think you can change the perception.
Oh, most assuredly.
Not of you, and not
mm-hmm.
of the people involved, but of the people watching.
Exactly.
That's what you guys are doing with Iran. That's what Iran is doing to itself.
And with the Tea Parties.
I'm less convinced about that.
I understand. But you will come to that understanding. I'm confident.
Because I don't see the value. I don't see.
I understand. Tracy, it's okay. I understand you don't see the value. All I'm telling you is you will come to see the value. So just keep an open mind.
I don't have one of those.
Ah, yes, you do.
I have a mind that is. I have a mind that is willing to change if I decide to. All right.
Yep.
I think I didn't do any petitions today, and I promised to, so I
okay.
can't do them tonight because my head is already dead.
Yep.
We need to be cautious about not being prepared for the show. But at the same token, I think, letting it be freewheeling.
Spontaneous.
I tried really, really hard today to simply be having a conversation with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I constantly tried to avoid talking to anybody else.
Yeah. Yep.
So I'm going to continue to work on that particular point. I think it could be, it could be good. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see.
Can you pull up how many listeners we had?
I'm gonna go look. Right.
Okay.
Damn. We had 15 live last week. We had 5.
Okay. Actually,
we had 5 callers. I didn't see it.
Oh, really?
I didn't see anybody call up on the switchboard. I wasn't on at 100% at the time, but
mm-hmm.
I didn't see them call.
Uh-oh. Okay. Actually, that doesn't surprise me. I would have thought that we would have dropped simply because of the Iranian thing and that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm thinking we pull in folks from the Twitterverse.
Okay.
And while I put that out there a couple, 3 times, I'm not sure that it really broke through the noise.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, I think at this particular point in time, I didn't expect a whole lot of Twitter stuff going on because there's just so much going on there.
Right.
Pammy was there because, she's a big
mm-hmm.
fan. All right. She did
kind of last night, so, all right.
I'm thinking that thing is probably about ready to load up at this point, isn't it?
What?
The broadcast tonight?
It should be available already.
Good. Okay, good.
Oh, wait a minute. I want to make sure I click on that. Showing that it's featured. Yeah, it should be right up.
Cool.
Pretty
okay.
Right away.
Good, because I load that up on Conservative Talk. And I know that people listen to it, so that's...
Yeah, we've had 19 archives the last 2 weeks.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, archives, does that mean that it was only through BTR, or would that have been like through, some of those could have been through what I post up on CT?
Well, what you post up on CT is actually just a link to the BTR archive.
Okay, I got it. Okay. Okay. Good.
So those are, you know...
Those are counted then.
So they occur after the show is over.
Got it. Okay. Well, heck, we had 15 live listeners last week and 19 viewing listening to the archive, so I'm okay with that. You betcha.
All right.
Okay, kiddo. Get some rest. Get over your sinus thing.
All right.
All righty, kid. Talk to you later.
Bye.